are going to wrap up with is talking about your appearance matters. You know, it's one thing to have vision, it's one thing to have knowledge, it's one thing to be empowered, but if your delivery is poor, you lose it. If your delivery is poor, you will what? Everything, vision, knowledge, the power, and all that will just go. So that is why the empowerment is actually, like our senior pastor was teaching us before, is the empowerment from the Holy Spirit. And we should let that Holy Spirit guide us into everything. You don't let Holy Spirit guide you in some things, and when it comes to some things, you know it. And you say, Holy Spirit, no, I got it. You know, so our appearance really matters. And when we're talking of appearance, your appearance, what happened to this slide? When we're talking of the appearance, we're talking of numerous things, depending on how you can interpret it. But let me go to physical appearance. Let me see if there is somebody here that really dressed professionally for this seminar. Let me see you. Come over there and showcase what you got. Come over here. That's the first book. So come up the stage. Don't raise your hand. Come up the stage. Come up the stage. So please we are all going to be the judge right here. Somebody is still coming. You are stepping. Hurry up. Okay now. All right, so how many books do I have? She's still fixing up. Okay, so I want you to move back. I will be calling you one by one. Move back a little bit. So, Brother David Adika, come step forward. Is he professionally dressed? Who said no? Can you tell me why? He has a tie. Who said no? Yes. It looks casual to you. Depending on the setup of where you dressing for. But for this gathering as workers conference, even if he goes to his job conference like this, this is professional. You get one, otherwise you lose it. Praise the Lord. Oh. Okay. Bia, mama. Is she professionally dressed? Can you tell me no? Why no? Somebody. Yes, Sister Meg. The dress is a traditional dress. It's not a professional dress. Okay. Yes, another person. English, combination of English and native. Okay. It's a skirt. Okay. It's a suit. Yes, finally. For the seminar, she's professionally dressed. How many people say yes? How many people, put it down. How many people say no? Okay. She is okay. As a professional presenter, I will say that I will give her 80% for this gathering. Like I said, the point I'm trying to make, for this gathering. Of course, somebody will put a different skirt, you know, because of the suit and all that. So, but, you know, she made effort. And she appeared good. Thank you. I still have a lot of people. Come, Paul. Okay, I know his wife will say yes. Is he professionally dressed for this? Why? PM? Yes? Yes, stand up and talk. They will hear you. Yes, let's listen to Jessica. Yes, Jessica? They can hear you.
You know, it depends on the setting. Yes, he's wearing jeans. I mean, if he's an accountant or something, right? And he's going to his client's office. Obviously, that dressing is not appropriate. But in a setting like this, where we came for worker seminar, you know, what is wrong with a nice fitting jeans? His shirt is tucked in. You know, if you give him a blazer, it'll take it up a notch.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. So it, make it short. Make
it
short.
If you dress up
Sister
jeans,
Carol.
It can actually that's be good, all right.
Good. Yes, Sister Carol. Yes. Thank you, Jessica. Yes.
Well, the question says, is he professionally dressed?
Right.
In all offices, you can't come in with jeans unless the day you have a dress down. Then you come in with jeans. I cannot represent my company in jeans. Not acceptable. But for this conference, yes.
No. Pastor. Okay, thank you everybody because of
Pastor.
Time. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, thank Pastor. You, thank you. Thank you. Let me wrap it up. Okay? Eh? Let me wrap it up. Hey, listen guys, because you won't go on time. Secularly, for example, like my job, when we have training, staff training, you can't wear jeans. When we have staff meeting, you can't wear jeans. For that. So there are some days that it is allowable. So depending on your position as well. You know, so you can't, when there is a meeting to put every employees together, they want you to appear professionally. So this is church, okay, and we are saying that, okay, this is workers' meeting, okay. This combination is not 100% approved, okay, for a setup like this as well. As a worker, even as a worker, though we are leading people and all that, Paul got a pen. you don't want a pen. see professional act. okay, you lost it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I will round up this, you know. Okay, what about me? Am I professionally dressed? Wait now. I am not professionally dressed. I am not. No shoes. What else? No tie. What else? Right, Obi, finally talk. Talk, you don't need mic. Time is gone. Wait, I'm coming to this one. Wait. Hurry up. Okay. All right. Now let me end up this session. Listen, everybody. See everybody that are here. Listen, oh professionals. Professionals, listen. As professionals, when somebody is speaking, you keep quiet. All right? Whether you sell orange or you sell computer, All granite. Why? You listen to each other, okay? So when you are talking, everybody have to keep quiet. See, everybody here dress well. Everybody dress well. And, you know, when we are talking of professional, we're not talking of people with certain job. You are a professional in the way you do what you do, the way you carry yourself out. You can be selling orange and be a professional orange seller. Yes. Seriously. So it doesn't matter the job. It's not only when you went to 7 years college and you graduate, then you become a professional. Okay? You can be a professional as a Sunday school. You can be a professional as a head of ministry. You can be a professional as a chorister. That is why even in the choir department, we have regulations. When people dress unprofessionally, they won't come up the stage. They can come to church. So because there is something that reveals your professionalism is the way you present yourself. That is why this session is your appearance matters. It's not only physical appearance, your emotional appearance as well. So combined together, when we're talking of your appearance matters as a worker, and we can take this to our secular job, it has to do with your physical appearance and your emotional appearance. So I'm going to give all these people, you know, something, because they... Paul, come. Yeah, keep Paul. That's it. Praise the Lord. So your appearance may mean your presentation. Your appearance may mean your character. Your appearance may mean your relational style. Your appearance may mean your representation, your look, your image, your taste. Your reputation. Please put this slide, please. Your friendliness, your sense of humor, your values. Brethren, in a nutshell, what the simple summary of the meaning of your appearance may mean what people say about you when they see you. So if that is only thing we say about your appearance, it's enough. What people say about you when they see you or when they hear you is your appearance. So it is very, very important. Like I said, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, that abstain, avoid every appearances of evil. Avoid. The slide is, you are not following the talk with the slide show, please. Avoid every appearances of evil. Both your physical and your emotional appearance means a lot to people around you. So you don't say that, I don't care what they say about me, I just want to preach the gospel. No, you must care what they say about you as a servant of God, as a representative of the Lord. You know why you should be mindful of what your appearance look like before you come to people? It is important because you can throw people off before they hear that you have good words. Some people already close their heart the moment they hear your first word or the moment they see your appearance. That is why it is important. They're saying that first impression means a lot. How you appear to people has a lot to do when it comes to influencing them. If you don't appear in a way that can capture my attention, you will not be able to influence me. As you are talking, I will be looking at what has already thrown me off in you. You understand my point? Yeah, as I'm talking, now I'm not listening no more because I'm a human being. Something already threw me off at the moment I hear you or the moment you show up. So that is why it's important. You don't see a pastor on a Sunday now and just show up and say, listen, I receive a word from the Lord today. And I want you to pay attention as I'm going to be teaching to you now. And as a pastor, I'll put on my jeans, I sag my pants, and I say it doesn't matter. It matters. Because not everybody has the ability to take it and just ignore my physical appearance and listen to the message you receive from God for us. Some people are able to take it. Some people are not able to. As I'm standing and preaching and delivering the message, what some people are looking at, I can't believe that this pastor sagging his pants like this. And the jeans has a hole here, you know, and you can see through. And you're speaking fire. Not everybody will take it. We can influence people negatively. We can influence people positively. If people are not drawn to you, they will not acknowledge you. So what comes out of your mouth or what shows in your physical appearance means a lot in order for people to acknowledge you. Because when they do not acknowledge you, you cannot what? Capture them. You cannot capture them. If people do not acknowledge you, you lose them. And listen to our purpose, brethren, because this is from the team as well, vision, knowledge, and empowerment. Our purpose, no matter what department you are working in the church, whether building, whether usher, whether children, whether youth, our goal is in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye and make disciples. We are to make disciples. That is the purpose of all these things we are doing. If your purpose is not to let people become followers of Christ, then you are just showing off. And it cannot last long. So when someone smells good, is there anybody today that walk cologne or perfume? You do? You do? You add cologne? Have you passed by people and say, oh, that smells good? You see that, right? And it makes them turn back to say, wow. They will even come to you and say, what's the cologne you wear? I really like it. You know, have you passed by somebody and you'd be like, oh, Lord have mercy. The moment he lift up his hand to praise God, something just oozes out. So it depends. It depends. When you smell good, you appear attractively, people will be drawn to you. The same thing, our emotional appearance, when we smell good in what comes out of our mouth, people want to know us more. People want to stay with us. People want to listen to the rest of the stuff we have. So it is very, very important. As we set goals, as we have clear vision, we must also smell good. Physically and emotionally. So your physical appearance is neat, if neat and attractive, gives a certain scent. So your emotional appearance is the word you say and the action you take. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16, the Bible says, we are the light of the world. So our emotional appearance must result to praising our God. Because the Bible says in that verse 16 of Matthew 5:16, it said, when they see your good works, they will do what? They will glorify your Father. They will glorify your Father. So people can be attracted to you physically, but that can last just a few minutes, brethren, when you open your mouth. When you open your mouth is what really matters. So is what I'm trying to say right here is that we will not dwell too long on our physical appearance, but we will take it further to our emotional appearance. Because you can dress well and they say, wow, see a very nice, pretty lady, you know. And the moment he comes and say, all of you that are just sitting right here, some of you are just here wasting your own time. I don't care who you are. And some people will be like, hey, wait. Who is this? See how she's talking. Look at this tiny thing. Praise God. You know, some people, see, people can dress nicely, and people like that, and say, wow, he dressed well. But by the time they give her the microphone and open her mouth, they'll be like, hey, this one is so rude and nasty. So, let us take our physical appearance further, and further to the emotional appearance, which is really, really important. So, our words and action can change everything. So as workers in this 2016, I was telling men in our meeting this month, I said, this is year of action. It is time for us to stop praying. It is time for us to begin to act. Because Abraham acted, despite the situation he was going through, God promised something and the physical manifestation did not happen yet. He saw three men going by. He put aside his situation. He said, please, can you stop by? Action right there. And he did not know that that would be the day for the physical manifestation of what God has said so many years ago to come to pass in his life. He said, please stop by my house. I have things to offer you. We need to put our situation aside and lift up the assignment, commitment that we have for God and let God turn things around. Some things doesn't require prayer anymore, brethren. Trust me. You have prayed enough. Some things require action. Action. And by the time we begin to act, we see God in action. People get to know us through what we say or do, even without seeing you. Have you come across somebody like that? You never see them, but you heard what they said. You heard something they said, and that thing captured your heart. You know? And you are longing, you're yearning, you want to be with them, you want to know them more. Our emotional appearance is not always apparent to us, but it is apparent to those that are listening to us. That is why we must pay attention to it. Our emotional appearance, brethren, is not always what? Apparent to us, but it is apparent to those that are listening to us. Let us be mindful of what people get from what comes out of our mouth. Even within ministries, let us respectfully talk to each other. Let us honor each other. Let us be mindful of what we say, how someone will take it home, and it will bother them, and it will affect them. It will kill them spiritually. It can hurt their heart. No, don't say you don't care. Let us care. Let us care. You know, the word I don't care shouldn't really be in our... Let me use Fola for my last illustration. Come here, come over here, because you're wearing yellow, so fluorescent color. How are you today? Have you done with the assignment I asked you to submit?
I'm done with the assignment, but I have some things I'd like to add to it. Something that will make you, I think more, you know, better than we've discussed before.
Come on, Fola, what are you talking about? We have deadline. I don't care how you think about this thing, what you want to have to eat. We must meet the deadline, okay? It is very, very important. I'm telling you now, please go and submit the assignment. And take this away from me. Now, somebody tell me right there, what is wrong in what I did as the boss? Now she left now. She was worried about... No, she was trying to put things, the assignment I asked her to do, she's trying to do it in a better way, not just to deliver it the way I said it. She says she wants to add some other stuff to make it more presentable. I don't care what you think you have to, we have to meet the deadline. I meant well too, because what I was trying to say is that, no, it doesn't matter how you think you, what you think you want to do, but I use a wrong word. And what is that wrong word? I don't care. I don't care. You know, she might not take it well. Somebody like her can go home and begin to cry. And I'm done. In the evening, I even call her. So, Father, how are you? So, have you submitted that thing to Pastor Dorothy? Because I forgot about what I said. What I said was not to attack her. But I just say it. But it means a lot to her. She took it home. She was depressed. She was down. She was worried. She was affected. So... Am I torn? So it is important. So please, brethren, as I'm wrapping it up, I've said it before, right? Let us be professional. Let us be professional. That's first thing. Appearance that matters in a gathering like this. Let us be what? Professional. This is a church. This is not a marketplace. This is not a playground. So let us be professional. It is important. Do not fool around, because don't say this is church. I'm wasting people's time. Fooling around means wasting your time and other people's time. So we have people in our ministry that are head of ministries that are even older than ours, that are whatever, you know. But at the same time, let us put honor in everything that we do. So be professional. Everybody say it together. Yeah, number two, take criticism or feedback gracefully. When there is a feedback from your head of ministry or from our meetings, and somebody says something to what you said, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Let us take criticism or feedback gracefully. Criticism provides you with valuable ideas, you know, about what people expect from you. It is not to bring you down. So don't say that I brought something. I'm not going to talk again in that meeting. Anytime I talk, everybody just talk against what I say. No. It is not for that. Talk again. Let us take criticism or feedback very what? Gracefully. Number three, learn your responsibility and do it well. Now we just started a new year and everybody were prayed for. Please learn your responsibility. And don't just learn it, do it. Don't say I'm an usher. All I do is welcome people and that. No. Go and learn how to do it exceptionally well. We have to be creative and we have to be initiative. In the assignment that, don't just say, take the folder they give you. And by the time you bring the folder back, it's the same way. Go back home, develop, decorate, color, paint that folder, rearrange, sort them out, clean it up. And by the time you're giving the folder back, man, it is a real message to those that gave it to you. They'll be like, wow, we didn't give it to her like this. The thing was full of paper. See how she arranged the folder. See how she put it well organized. A lot of us just do things of God anyhow. We shouldn't. We should invest our best. Invest our time. Invest our talent. Do things of God exceptionally well. It is important. When you are being initiative, it is the ability to give birth to what is not in existence. And to be creative means bringing out that thing that you just introduced in a way that it will be productive. So there is a difference between being initiative and being creative. So we must put the two together to be able to make sure that the two comes out well. To be initiative, don't forget, is to bring in new ideas. And to be creative means bringing out new ideas, not in a shabby way, but in a way that it will bring productivity. Because otherwise, you can bring out something new and it will scatter the whole place. Praise God. So, number four, cultivate and develop good working relationship with the people you work with. Don't say, I'm serving God. I'm serving God. That's it. You are serving God. You are serving man. Because we are focusing on man, human being, as we are serving God. Praise the Lord. So, I said it one time in the workers' meeting, be a leader and not a manager. Because there is difference between the two. A manager will do the work, but leaders will do the right thing. They always say it in English, you know, managers do things right, but leaders do the right thing. There is slight difference that is so important in the two. So when we are doing the right thing, we must do it well. So that's the most important thing. Number five, be on time. Everybody shout it. Be on time. Always, when it is 9 o'clock, give yourself 10 minutes. So be there 8:50. Plan it as the goal that they said. Plan it, put it on your head. I want to be there at 8:50. In case you have to look for parking, in case somebody has to see you and talk to you, is this a church? When do you meet? And all that. Some people will say, no, I'm on time. I was just parking. Yeah, you see, not on time because you came late. But if you plan ahead, you'll be on time. You will make room, make allowance for what they, as they told us before. Number six, be part of the solution. Stop whining in your ministry. Come up with ideas of how problems can be solved. Don't just come with a problem. When you are coming with a problem, come with one solution idea. So when we have this as a plan on our head, you will see that you will be so valuable in your ministry because God put you there for a reason, for a reason, for a reason. Number seven, don't drag your feet. Don't drag your what? In doing what you have to do, let us be on time. Don't procrastinate. A lot of us, Holy Spirit will help us. No. It's not about Holy Spirit will help us. You have to do what you have to do. There are things that God will not help us to do. He has given us the ability to do it. So don't depend on Holy Spirit and use Holy Spirit to waste time. You didn't submit what you're supposed to submit on time. You are saying Holy Spirit will help us. No, He has helped us. He has helped us. And the last one that I want to talk about is be a team player and not a ring leader. Amen? Be a team player and not what? Yeah, a ring leader is someone who leads others, especially in opposition to authority. But a team player is a person who willingly works in cooperation with others. So in our ministry, let us be a team player. Don't be the one that will tell people, did you hear what they said? I'm totally against what that our head of ministry said. I have a different idea. No, you should have said a different idea in the meeting, not in your own private meeting with some people. That can cause division. You know what the Bible says? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And Titus chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, watch those and have nothing to do with them. So when you see somebody playing the role of a ringleader in your ministry, what did the Bible say you should do? Don't be part of it. Don't be part of it. Titus 3:10, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. So be praying for them. So our appearance matters, brethren. And I just pray that as we conclude in this seminar, you know, with this little piece of information we had received, we will take it to goal settings, vision knowledge and empowerment, and your appearance that really matters. Put it together and see how God will come out colorfully, gloriously, powerful through your assignment. It may not be obvious to people what you do, but God takes record and he sees that. And that is the most important thing. Let us do it best. Let us do it best. Amen. God help us in Jesus' name. Any question for this two session? Brother OK is still here. So we take a few questions. Yes.
There is a saying, diversity brings out the best. And here we're being told the test. I don't know where the test comes into what you just, you know, discuss with us now. How does test come into it? You say test your test. Okay? No. Now, in what you were talking about,
your taste,
yes.
Oh,
how does taste, you know?
Your taste, your appearance means your taste. Uh-huh. Your appearance means your representation. I was just explaining what appearance may mean to different people, different setting. Your appearance can be your own taste because you come up the way you think is appropriate, mm-hmm. The way you think. Not what people think.
Oh, okay.
So that is your taste.
Okay.
If I wear this and put this color and put this color, that's my own taste. And some people may look at it like, oh, this is color riot. What's going on here? You know. So that is my own taste. So that is where taste comes from. Any other question? Yes, Sister Meg.
I was going to suggest something or say something while Bro OK was speaking. You know, like setting a goal and planning to get to your goal is two different things. You know, you can set your goal and do how you plan it and the time you plan it. Say, for instance, what Bro Anno said. I can set a goal to meet my academic requirement, and the time I get to that goal is one thing. You know, getting to reach that my goal is one thing. And before I set a goal, I usually put God first. I speak, you know, I wait and listen to God. If that goal is from God and you have your faith in God, you know, there is no way you will set a goal and God is with you. You heard from God, because we know when God is speaking to you. If you hear from God, it's not about the professional point of view. It's about the spiritual point of view. If I set a goal that I'm gonna get my academic in 2015 or 2016. Let me say 2016. And no matter, you know, what is on my way, so long as I'm speaking to God and God, you know, I hear from God to go ahead in that goal. No matter what is on my way, my point of view that time is that in 2016 I am graduating from this class. So the effort you put in getting there is between you and God. So what I'm trying to say is, when you set a goal, make sure you heard from God. And if you hear from God, there is nothing that will be on your way that will stop you from getting to that goal. The point is, you know, hearing from God first and telling God, this is what I want to do. And if it's from God, there is nothing stopping you. All you have to do is stand on your faith. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, yes. On. Brought, okay, topic, right?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Actually, Broke, you started by saying the end justifies the means. But I'm thinking that in Christian life, the end should not justify the means. Because I don't know, I mean, the pastors can explain, or am I, is it just me?
Yes, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, because I know that when I came to this country, there were some people that came with me, some classmates. Some of them went ahead and got the, you know, the marriage by contract, so they can
arrange.
Get their, yeah, so they can get their green card and something. And some of them got it. It didn't last. Even if it lasted, some couldn't go home to see their children and their husbands. So, I mean, the end does not justify the means. It's the means, to me, I should say. But the pastors, please, if there's any, I don't know any Bible version. No, he said the... He mentioned it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, praise God.
Okay, Brother OK is coming.
Okay, thank you.
Don't bang it. Well, okay, you can talk. You start talking.
Right. For instance, your classmate, what is their end? Their end is that probably the marriage failed, right? Okay. But most of them, the marriage failed. But you find out that if you have God, if you ask God before you start that, that's how you praise God at the end of the day. Because the end that God will lead you to, it might take longer. Like some of them did not even do anything with fake marriage. They stayed, they prayed to God, and God kept them and led them to their husband. And that is the end for them. Remember we said, if you have God, if you put God in your goal, it is not the goal that you did not put God, it's the goal that you have God in it. And the end will always justify the means God will lead you. That is where I was coming from. It might, like I said, it might be delayed. It might not come today. It might come in 10 years. But that is the end that God will lead you.
One more person. Yeah. On that? Right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I think that's a little misunderstanding with what he was saying. Here's the thing. If God is the architect of the goal that you're planning, I think he should be the one that will set the time frame to accomplish that. The difference is here is when God sets a goal for you and you dare not empower yourself, try to do your own human understanding to put a time frame to it. That's a problem. Just like Abraham, when they say you're going to have a baby or he tries to, you know, make it work, okay, let me go and live with this person or that person. And that's how the Muslim, that's a whole different conversation. But the goal here is, for example, like a more realistic thing that we can relate to. Let's say God, I put in your heart, build a house anywhere. Let's say by December, or build a house. Then in your own thinking, you figure, okay, if God tells me the house in January, that means by December, I want to complete that house. Then you say, okay, I'll build a house this year by December. I got to get it done because God has told me to build a house. Then you find out on your way there, you might start doing things because you feel like, oh, the house is not yet completed. It should be here by this time, by that time, in order to be ready by December. That's where you're now trying to do it by your own ability. But if God gives you a goal and he's the one that has put that goal in you, just follow. It might not be done at the time you want it to be done, but it will be done. Because it's the one that will push you through and will sustain you to get to that goal. Let's not mix it up. It's two different things.
Yes, our pastor wants to talk, but I told her she would talk. I want us to understand something. So, see, we're all saying the same thing what Brother K said. I think it's the way some of the word came out, so some of us were thrown off. Let us remember something that he said. Put God first in your goal setting. So every other thing is the goal that people set without that first thing. Okay, if you set up a goal on your own, so you will end up in a miserable way. So it will not be achieved. When he was saying that when you set a goal, don't have the must on your heart. depending, yeah, if you have a goal that you want to lose weight, okay, you want to lose weight, that is your goal. Don't say you must lose weight. Okay, put God first. By the grace of God, I will lose weight. All right, but if you say you must, my friend, you will deny yourself of protein, vitamins, some a lot of things that you should be eating. Then you are avoiding them. You won't eat them because you think you must, you must, you must. You look at everybody, you're comparing yourself. You are not happy each time you come. You are depressed and all that. All those thoughts are coming. You know, people are dancing, looking good. You think you are not looking good because you have a must. That you, and God knows what he is doing, okay? But if the way he's saying it, if you come with the fact that God, I want to lose weight, and I know you will help me to lose weight, even when you can't see it physically happening, you will still be grateful. You will still be happy, and you will be pressing forward, okay? That must will not drive you into denying yourself, crying, not eating, not sleeping, a lot of things are happening, and you are overwhelmed with the fact that you can't see what you are saying. But a goal like what he said is different. Like I know, I want to make A. I want to, of course, that goal you have things to do. Just like every other goals that you have things to do. But some goals, he's saying that not all the goals should have must, because it will not happen the way we think. And like what he said, God has the timing for everything. God has the timing for it. So it's like in between kind of. So she will wrap it up for us. So then we close that chapter because we spend so much time on it. But put God in your goals. So that's the way I would just say it. Yes, ma'am.
Praise God. I just wanted to add to maybe what the pastor just said down. With regards to the setting a goal, I think a word broke was, by the way, I'm sure we're all having a good time. This is something you can't quantify in monetary terms. And this is what a lot of people pay to get, but we are all getting it free because God loves us so much. So we really thank God for our brethren who organized this. About the, you know, what okay was telling us is that we have to make allowance. We don't have to put that most. I had this scripture that says in Colossians 1:16, I read a portion of it before. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Say, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may do what? Have the preeminence. So we have to put God first. And don't say must, because we are living in a fallen world. Even though you have committed the thing into the hands of God and say, God, you know, like Broke read for us, James chapter 4. He said, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here or a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. So you put God first. And remember, you're living in a fallen world. So if you've set that target, you've asked God, and you believe this is what God is leading you to do, then make allowance, because you're living in a fallen world. You trust God. So that if for any reason you don't really fully get there, you know that all things work together for good, for those who love God. So it's not good. You're not going to say, this thing I did it yesterday, I'm not going to do it again, it's not working. No, you just keep on persevering. You worry the devil as you keep persevering. You set the same goal, you continue to pursue it. I remember my son, Kenechukwu, this boy worked so hard and said, I'm getting into university and I'm going to do this year. And lo and behold, he met very high score that led him to the University of Choice, UNILAG. And what happened? Somewhere along the line, some of these professors, they went there and deleted his name and put somebody's name, when already his name was on the board and he was preparing, we're buying things for him to go there. So by the time we discovered that, it was when he went to pay and they told him his name was not there. You can imagine the frustration. And we were believers and we believed God. And what happened? They now said, well, you can go. Let them put you in another university. They put him in Ife. And they gave him something. He said, okay, let me switch over to economics. And they said he was full. They didn't give him that one. They now said, okay, why don't you do history? Make sure you make A's. Then you will just transfer. No, not if a battle. So he did, he set the goal. I'm going to study hard. This boy was not eating. He was studying. He was not coming home because he was living in there. He made all A's. Then he went to the history and told them he was switching. Economics department accepted him. But the woman in the history department said over her dead body that they are using history as a passing by to pass into others, that this is the last, that she's not going to tolerate that. Me and my husband, and I remember Anu's father, we all went there, we begged the woman, even the professor, the head of department of that history, asked the woman who was there, I think she was lower than that man, the woman said over her dead body. And this boy said, well, we said to him, all things work together. This is not the end of the road. Then we all came back home. Kenneth came back home. He said, I'm going to trust God. And this boy spent all his time in the church learning this keyboard. See how he perfected in that. And said, perhaps God is going to even send me to a better place. He stayed a year plus. And lo and behold, how God worked it and brought us here. And look at how he did it. So you make allowance, but set your goal, pursue it, but know that your life is in the hands of God, that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who put him first. He knows you are living in a fallen world, and he knows how he's going to work things around and still get you to your expected end. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So that clears it. And the hand will show really that there is God in it. So for believers, you will see the end of it. And even for unbelievers too, they too will see the end. Yeah, everybody see the end. So, but who started with you determines a glorious end or a woefully end. So we should really put God first. Amen. So this is the end of it. The food is going to be takeout. So once we finish with the meeting, if there is anything from each ministry, so if there is nothing, we just finished the meeting. You take your food. So we try to compress all the time together to give us more time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org. where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.